Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Happy New Year, my brother.
Happy New Year to you. Amazing.
What do you call it when you're sent out, when you're charged with doing something? What's the word I'm looking for?
You would be given a commissioning.
Right. That's what I'm looking. I get the feel that that's what's going on here on Real Radio in the next couple of days. Well, would I be correct?
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, it's the time of the year whereby, you know, we sense that. I mean, all of us, it's an amazing thing. Believer and unbeliever alike, there's a sense of hope in a new year, a renewal, a second chance, a redo. And so that's why, Davey, in the next 2 days, we're going to be looking at what, you're right, I would say it's a commissioning that the Lord laid on my heart to give to the body here in Southern California, and maybe for the rest of us as well. It can encourage you also, but it's a great time to get a restart, as it were, a new fresh slate to go forward this year in the power of God.
So we're going to talk a lot about God's prophetic nature. Why is that so important to me these days?
I think it's, wow, you know what? I've been a Christian now 40 years, and Bible prophecy, thank God, the church I was born and raised in, Bible prophecy was paramount. And I got to tell you now, 40 years later, it's more important now than ever, because God knows the future. And everybody's looking around at the world at a time like this, and so they should be, wondering what in the world's going on. What's going to happen? Well, the believer can be encouraged, because whatever's going to be going on, our God knows about it. And we can rest and trust in Him. And in fact, we can be bold at a time like this, because think about it. We among all people that we come in contact with the world, we've got the answer. And a lot of people are looking for the answer. And this is a great time of the year to seize the moment and let them know our God knows what's happening next. Trust Him.
The title of the message today, What Was, What Is to Come. And this is Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs.
And the title is What Was, What Is, and What Is to Come. It comes out of Revelation 1:8, which is one of the descriptions of the very nature, the DNA of God Himself. Jesus is speaking, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That is a tremendous statement for Jesus to make, because that, just that title alone, there's four of them here in one verse, but that statement alone, that title, I am the Alpha and the Omega, is reserved from the Old Testament for God alone. Nobody can say this without being killed for blasphemy. You don't take on the name of God. Jesus did, but He went on. He says of Himself that He's the beginning and the end. This is an awesome statement. It's a statement of eternity. He's saying before anything material or anything that was ever created was created, that which began, I was in existence before whatever began. And when all things come to an end, I will still continue on. That's the Jesus of the Bible. That's the God who is going before you this year. He says of Himself, also, another title out of the Old Testament, which is the nature of God, the one who is, who was, who is to come. The one who never changes, who presides over all things. That's what that statement is. He's saying, I'm the one that has presided over all things past, all things current, all things future. The Jesus of the Bible. And then finally, the fourth declaration in this small little verse is the fact that Jesus says He's the Almighty. The Almighty. He just lays it down. Four radical, amazing, powerful statements regarding the very nature and characteristic of God Himself. And Jesus says, those things belong to Me. And you might say, well, yeah, but look, He said that and he was killed for it. Might I remind you that Revelation chapter 1 is after His resurrection? What does that mean? That means that He not only spoke it before He was put on the cross. He went to the cross of His own volition, because it was the plan of God to die there for your sins, to be resurrected from the dead. And book of Revelation chapter 1, Jesus is announcing it to the Apostle John having been resurrected from the dead. If it had more power when he was living, how much more power does it have now that he's resurrected from the dead? Remarkable statement. So as we look at this and we use it as a springboard, look at Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling, the apocalypsis, the word means that whatever is being concealed, in this case, it's Jesus Christ himself, the veil is being taken off. To reveal Jesus Christ or the revelation of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation is of Jesus Christ. It's the unveiling of him. The New Testament announces that Christ is the centerpiece of the revelation of God. And the last book of the Bible is specifically introduced that way, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly or quickly take place. The word means that when the end time things happen, they will go very, very fast in short order. And he sent and signified him by his angel to the servant John, who bore witness of the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, he says, to the seven churches which are in Asia, today Turkey, that these seven churches once existed. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn or preeminent one, from the dead. That is the first one to be risen from the dead, never to die again. And the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests, who is God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7, behold, he is coming with clouds. He's speaking about the second coming events, not the rapture, the second coming events. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even they who pierced him. That's a reference to the Jewish people. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Here's verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. What does this mean for us for this new year on this day, the first day of this new year? Well, number one, the fact that I want the takeaway from today, this devotional time as we dedicate our attention to the new year, that we place God's centerpiece most prominent in everything the new year. And so when we look at the God of the Bible, we have to remember something. The God of the Bible, according to his own statement, is that he's the God of the past. We think so often that the past is something that is only around to haunt us, or the past is something that we look back with fond memory, that somehow it's you know, coded that way. Or maybe the past was a horrific time and it's something that you just want to avoid, or you're so glad you made it through. Wait a minute. If we're Christians this morning, our God from this verse tells us he's the God of the past. God knew all along the way that you would become a Christian. He knew all the things that you and I would experience. He's the God of the past. He's not only the God of the past, we'll see today that he's the God of the present and he's the God of the future. And we need this truth for our new year that's before us. All of that, past, present, and future, is the prophetic nature of God. He's the one who was, who is to come. It's his nature. I'm going to give you some verses well known to you. You hear these often, and we love to boast in these verses because they describe the nature of our God, who absolutely is unique from all man-made gods. In Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10, he says of himself that I am God. There is no other. I am God. There's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. That makes him omniscient. In that statement, God is saying, I know everything from past, present, and future. Nothing can be learned by me. I am God. And by the way, because he knows all things, he can speak from the distant past to us today about the future. Is that awesome? That is awesome. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God of your new year. That makes him omniscient. Another thing is that it makes him unrivaled. Look at Isaiah 45, 21. He says of himself, who foretold this long ago, or who declared it from distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? There is no God apart from me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me. I can almost hear him say it with an attitude. There's none but me. You can see all idols and totem poles and statues bow down to him. He's omniscient, he's unrivaled, and he's comforting. Isaiah 42, verse 9 says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass," meaning the things I've told you about long ago have now happened. "And new things I declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them." That's the God of the Bible. So church, we'll look at three points in our New Year's Day message, beginning with this one, the prophetic purposes of God. I want you to mark that down, that God, the God of the Bible, unique from all other gods made by man, is the fact that he has a prophetic purpose to what he does. He has a prophetic purpose to what he does. So the first thing we see is that his prophetic purpose, and we're going to keep it in three genres or three areas throughout the points. Number one is that he has been revealing this purpose among the nations. We'll look at the nations, we'll look at the Jewish people, and we'll look at the church. As we look back, as we look to this moment, as we look ahead, we understand that God has prophetic purposes, and we look at the statement that who was, that he is in fact the one who was. And that means that he has revealed his purpose among the nations. And see, what does that mean? That means from the very beginning of time itself, God was at work among the nations of the world from their formation. If you are a history buff, you can go to Genesis chapter 10, and in that chapter, the first formation of nations begin to take place. In fact, that chapter is noted as the Table of Nations. And from those nations, all other nations came forth to the one you're sitting in today. God does this. As we consider God's distant work about nations, why do I say that today on this new year? Because God has always been in control. And I want to build my case today that God controls and presides over the nations. We know this three ways. That throughout the distant past, God has brought all things together according to his plan. And nobody knows his plan. He's revealed to us what he wants us to know, but just enough. The Bible tells us that God is the one who establishes kings and brings down kings. Ladies and gentlemen, in this new year, if you like it or not, and what I'm going to say is not a political statement, but you are about to receive the appointment of a new president. If you like him or not, it doesn't matter. Do you understand that? You and I, ordained by God, we were to get involved to stand for righteousness. Good, bad, or ugly, you and I were to stand for righteousness. In other words, God is sovereign, but we do our part. It doesn't change, diminish, or add to his sovereignty. He holds us responsible. But here's the deal. You want to know why Donald Trump's president? It's not because of the Electoral College. It's not because of Russia. It's not because of anything other than God has decreed it so. Now, you say, I don't like it. I love you, but tough. God didn't ask you, did he? God didn't ask me for my opinion. Listen, he puts kings in power. He removes kings. That's what he does. We are going to find out what the purpose is all about and what we and how we get involved and what happens. But God is on the move. And the past teaches us that God is involved in the affairs of men. Another thing that we know about this is that he overrides governments. Wow, you look at what's happening. In the last 8 years, the Middle East has been redefined dramatically. I just saw a report from out of Syria. In the last 6 years, 265,000 people have been killed in Syria with what's happened with ISIS and the war. Unbelievable death and mayhem. God did not cause it, but God presides over these things. He's watching is an easy, convenient way for me to put it. He's watching all these things happen. He's watching what man does to man. But he's got a plan, even though he's not causing it. Another thing is that we realize is that God is rearranging and reconstituting nations. He's been doing that from the distant past. And as we'll see today in a moment, he's doing it even now in our day. The next thing that we realize regarding the prophetic purposes of God is the fact that it has been revealed among his people. God is not only and has been working among nations, but this is a lot of fun is the fact that he has been. Notice the past tense on this. He's the God who was, and he has been revealed among his people. When I say his people, I'm talking about the Jewish people. I've got to tell you, every time I bring up what I'm about to bring up, I get emails, I get letters, I get notes because of this, perpetually. Pastor Jack, I can't believe it. You know, you seem to know the Bible, but you really, really blew it. Today you talked about the Jews as though God was interested in them. Today you talked about Israel as though God cares. Israel's not for real. There are no Jews. They all forsook Jesus. They shouldn't be existing anymore. They're irrelevant, and you don't know the Bible. Wow, really? Listen, that logic is ripped right out of the playbook of Adolf Hitler. Listen, the Bible warns us from generation to generation, you don't denounce, you don't refuse God's working with his people, the Jew. And boy, are you watching the news? I'll save that for the present stuff, but the past, hey, the past. The Jew is not supposed to be in existence. Almost every empire has tried to eradicate them. And now we're right back at it again, where the nations of the world do not want Jews to be existing. Amazing. And yet I can tell you right now that God has always reserved a remnant of his people since the beginning of the first Jew, which cracks me up. Do you know who the first Jew was? The first Jew was a Gentile. Listen, if you're Jewish in the house, listen to me carefully. Who's your father? Who's your daddy in the faith? Abraham. Did you know the first Jew was a Gentile first? That always freaks out my Jewish friends. Where was he from? Ur of the Chaldees. He was a Chaldean. What made him a Jew? What made him a Jew was, nope, not circumcision. What made him a Jew? God declared him a friend, and God declared him righteous by faith before he was ever circumcised. And get this, you might say, well, he kept the Ten Commandments. That's funny, because he pre-existed Moses. There was no Ten Commandments. He was not circumcised. Abraham believed God. And that's how Abraham became the first Jew. And the descendants of Abraham are not allowed to live today. According to many governments of the world and according to many university campuses in America, Jews have no right to exist. Isn't that interesting? That's the talk of the past and the present time. And yet, this is what God says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. Isaiah 43, verse 1, and I give you this because of the year that we're going into. You're going to hear more about the Jews, more about Israel, more about Jerusalem than you ever have in previous years. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I like when he talks like that. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, it shall not burn you, nor shall the flame scorch you. Verse 3, for I am the Lord your God. And if you have any doubt, look what he says, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Listen to this, I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored. I have loved you. This is God speaking. Therefore, I will give men for you. Wars will be prosecuted for you. And people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east. Has that ever happened? Is it happening now? The Bible says it's going to keep happening. And gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I've created for my glory, I have formed you. Yes, I have made him. God is speaking to the Jewish people about this. In the last days, God is saying, I'm going to orchestrate the nations in such a way that my people are going to come back to their land. And I challenge you, don't believe what I'm going to tell you right now. Go search and see. Aliyah. What is going on but Aliyah? Jews who have been born in other parts of the world, including the United States, in record numbers are getting up and moving to Israel, getting jobs, joining the army. Young people, by the way, never before seen. Record number of young people, college age graduates, college age kids, some in America, leaving school and moving to Israel. Nobody can explain it. Parents wanting them to stay, they're moving to Israel. Look it up later. What's going on? Isaiah 43, God is laying the groundwork for it, and it's happened so far in small numbers. It's going to increase. In the year ahead of you, follow it. It's going to increase. What's happening? Our God is the God of the past. And he said long ago he was going to be doing this. So in this year ahead, you want to watch for that. You say, Jack, why do I want to watch for that? I just want to pay the bills. I just want to see my kids grow up. That's my point. The God that has made you all the promises that you lean upon for your life and for your joy and for your hope now, my point is this, that it's the God who keeps his promises from distant past, and nothing can sway him from fulfilling his promises. And you look at how God deals with the nations of the past, and you look at how God has spoken or dealt with his people in the past, and that ought to give you comfort regarding what he's going to do. And it leads us to this third argument under this first point, is that the fact that the prophetic purposes of God have been revealed among the church. Has been, past tense. Now, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. I'm not sure if on this new day, you know, in California anyway, we have a bunch of new laws that went into effect today. And you're going to have to live with them. People who have committed nonviolent crimes, as California has defined now nonviolent crimes, are being released out of jail. And you're going to have to deal with that. So I don't know if what I'm going to say is going to be legal or not, but when it comes to the church, what's the term? The culture tells us we are to be all, is it the word inclusive? All inclusive. That is awesome if you're going to a vacation getaway. It's awesome. It's awesome if you're on a cruise ship. But did you know that God knows nothing about inclusiveness? Did you know that? Now, here's the part where he's going to ruffle a progressive feather or two. Jesus is so anti-inclusive. Jesus says, unless you're born again, you're not coming into the kingdom of God. You say, Pastor, there's no way God said that. It's in your Bible, John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. The letters are written in red. Jesus says, you ain't getting in unless you're born again. Is that narrow? Oh, that's narrow. That's illegal. Well, you have to take it up with the judge. And I don't mean the one in Sacramento. Okay? The church is exclusive. I'm talking about the church, not the church by label or title. I'm talking about the church by living organism, Spirit of God, church. The real church. All through the last 2,000 years, God has been faithful to his prophetic word to preserve his church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Somebody say amen. He has been faithful. Because he's been faithful, he shall be faithful. He's our faithful God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. Thanks for listening. And you know, all of us here at Real Radio understand how hectic the holidays can be. That's why it's so important to slow down to reflect upon the true reason for the season. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, the Bible is undeniably the single most reliable source for what the future holds, and it challenges us to know what's coming. The 11-message series, Awaken, will provide a wealth of information for the times in which we live. Let me give you the names of some knowledgeable speakers that'll discuss key topics about the impact of prophecy on our lives today. Jay Smith, Mark Hitchcock, Charlie Campbell, and Jack Hibbs. These are some men of God who really know their stuff when it comes to Bible prophecy. You'll get the MP3 audio files and the MP4 video files of the entire series of Jay Smith, Mark Hitchcock, Charlie Campbell, and Jack Hibbs. It is the Awaken USB. Ask for it when you get in touch with us. The Awaken series on USB for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.